Next on BYUSN, which is the bigger deal for BYU men's basketball? Being ranked for the first time this season, Richie Saunders as Big 12 Player of the Week, or something else? And would we rather BYU play UConn, New Mexico, or Utah State in a March Madness first-round matchup?
College basketball analytics guru Evan Miyakawa joins us to explain where BYU stands according to his numbers, plus the latest on your chance to go cruising with the Cougs.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday. It is February 25th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who got his hardware yesterday as well, only he got his at Home Depot, Jason Shepherd.
Let me tell you, there's nothing more out of place than me at a Home Depot.
Really?
I'm not handyman. No.
You're like me. Pay somebody who's really good at it to do it for
ding,
you.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. Look, it's not great for the pocketbook, but for sanity and for the job getting done right.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. But look, you and I, we go to Home Depot to get our hardware. Will Ferrin goes to the Big 12 to get his hardware.
Indeed he does.
Yeah, Kelly Papinga tweeted out yesterday that Will Ferrin received his hardware. You can see him holding up his trophies and his plaques, receiving the honor for the Co-Special Teams Player of the Year and the All-Big 12 Offensive First Team. Pretty cool. And still rocking that stash, looking good.
Big Game Bill has a big game mustache, no doubt about it. How was your bill at the Home Depot, by the way?
Oh, it's always more than I anticipated.
That could be a subtitle for our lives. More than we expected. When it comes to finances, anyway. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
You don't put a saddle on a Mustang. You just let him go.
Richie on the bump. He'll pull. He'll fire. He'll score for three. Oh, my goodness. Kaba Kata. Right corner Trey for three. That's good.
It's an 8-0 BYU run.
We're getting used to verbiage like that. BYU's offense has been absolutely dynamite, most recently in that 96-95 heart-stopping thriller against Arizona. Today, we're going to play our own little heart-stopping game. Not really. But we like to think that it will cause some drama. And I know that many of you are used to big deal, no deal. Well, we're going to play which is the bigger deal today, Jason.
Okay.
A twist on the old game on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, so number one, which is the bigger deal today? BYU being ranked number 25 in the AP poll for the first time this season, or Richie Saunders winning BYU's first ever Big 12 Player of the Week in men's basketball?
To me, and it's great that Richie, first of all, the fact that he's the first ever BYU player to win Big 12 Player of the Week is pretty cool.
It didn't happen last year, not once.
Did not happen once last year. And so for Richie to be able to have that honor is really cool. But I bet you if you asked Richie this question, he would agree that it's being ranked in the top 25 because that is a collective, that is a team acknowledgement.
Sure.
So for me, that's what, because that's going to garner a lot more attention, and it means more for what the team is trying to accomplish. So for me, it's being ranked in the top 25 at number 25.
They are intertwined, are they not?
Yes.
Because if Richie Saunders doesn't play the way that he does and isn't the Big 12 Player of the Week, we're not sitting here talking about BYU being ranked, having destroyed Kansas, and then won at Arizona, because Richie was incredible against Arizona. But I tend to agree with you, because BYU wasn't receiving a single vote a week ago.
Quite the leap.
Not one. So to go from no votes received at all, not even be sniffing the poll, relatively speaking, to now you're just in, means you did something extra significant. And that is, you destroyed Kansas and gave them their third worst loss in program history, a tie for that. And then you won at Arizona, back-to-back ranked wins for the first time since 1988. The collective team, like you said, Jason, number 25 from no votes, that to me is the bigger deal.
It actually, I was thinking about this yesterday, because obviously before the Arizona game, you still had BYU that had won three in a row, and you had that massive just dismantling of the Jayhawks. And I wondered, had BYU lost that Arizona game and lost by one instead of winning by one, where they would have been. I would have thought they would have deserved possibly to be ranked anyway, but as it turned out, they wouldn't have been.
They might have received a few votes.
They would have received votes, but they wouldn't have been
at
in the top
best.
25. I actually expected them to be a little higher than 25. And I'm not saying like significantly, but I thought maybe 22, 23 is where I thought they may land. So that turned out to be big because without the Arizona win, they weren't going to be ranked, clearly.
Yeah. If being number 25 is clear evidence of that, right? Just getting in the poll. But what a leap by BYU as a team. They've won 8 of 10. They've won 4 consecutive conference games, and they've done that twice now this year. Just checking boxes consistently. New boxes, checking new boxes. Now the next big one, Jason, is can they win a 5th straight game and make that happen against Arizona State, which all of a sudden is kind of becoming a weird game because maybe they're galvanized after their leading scorer leaves the team. They won at Kansas State.
They may be down their leading rebounder as well.
Well, that definitely helps BYU's case.
Yes.
Just a weird game because BYU wants to avoid the big game letdown. I believe that they are well coached. The staff is all over it. I don't think BYU is going to all of a sudden just mail it in.
Right.
So
no,
we'll see.
Okay, let's not shortchange, though, talking about what Richie has done. And obviously, him getting the accolades for this week puts a spotlight on what he did this week. But what he has done this season has been remarkable. And what he's done, we know what type of energy guy he's always been, and we've always talked about that. But his consistency offensively this year has been fantastic.
His three-point shooting to lead the way? Are you kidding me? He has gone to another level in that regard. He's BYU's best overall player.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's one guy in the media somewhere that picked Richie Saunders to lead this team in scoring. Do you know who it is?
Mm.
You're looking at him, Jason.
Interesting.
Looking at him.
I kind of had a feeling that may be where this is going.
Richie has been so, so good for BYU. Well-deserved award. Well, but again, he's team guy. He'd be like, bigger deal that we're number 25 now.
Well, and remember how close it was. We all saw the pictures of him at the airport in Lexington.
The hug at the bottom
of the
escalator.
We're like, oh, no, they're hugging.
I think you were on the show with
me
that day.
Yes, you and I were doing the show.
When that picture surfaced on social media.
Yes.
Just huge gulp. He's back at BYU, and he did the right thing.
Absolutely. All right, so let's move on to another bigger deal. The win over Kansas by 34 points.
Good grief.
Or beating Arizona in Tucson.
I love that we're discussing two just really, really positive things for BYU.
You can't go wrong with an answer here.
What's the bigger deal here? Kansas had just lost to Utah. Had they not just lost to Utah, Jason? I would probably lean that direction because of how BYU played and how dominant BYU was against a true blue blood, one of the biggest name programs to ever play in the Marriott Center, arguably the biggest name to ever play in the Marriott Center, right along with UCLA, a few others. I'm not going to throw Gonzaga in that conversation for other reasons, okay? But the way that BYU handled Kansas, if it didn't happen after they had lost to Utah, then that'd probably be my answer. But winning on the road, following up what you did against Kansas and having to go on the road to the McHale Center and putting up the most points that Arizona has given up in a home game since Jimmer Fredette helped BYU score 99 all the way back in 2009. The stories, the rhetoric, the drama at the end of the game with the foul. BYU got ranked because they beat Arizona. The bigger deal. And as far as resume goes, the bigger deal is BYU winning that road quad one game against a top 20 team.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is the win at Arizona for all the reasons that you mentioned. The fact that it's a quad one road win, and it comes off the heels of all the attention that you got by beating Kansas as bad as you did, and then immediately going right into SportsCenter and talking to Scott Van Pelt. Like, it got so much run. That's why I think, like, in terms of the game that actually got BYU the most attention, although that may have changed with all of the chanting and everything that gone on for all the wrong reasons, but I still think that the Kansas win is the one that opened more eyes because of the sheer number that you beat Kansas by, and it's Kansas. Kansas, even though this is not the season they would have wanted, they're still the overall bigger program historically. And so when you see BYU just beat them by 34, that catches everybody's attention. So I think that probably got more people's attention. But the bigger win, because when you played Kansas, they were 23. When you played Arizona, they were number 19.
Yes.
The fact that you're beating the higher-ranked team and
Arizona's
you're doing
it— Arizona's a better team than Kansas.
Yes, and you're doing it in their building, that, to me, is the answer.
It proves that what BYU is doing right now is not a fluke.
Right.
Because every team can have, you know, the one-off. Okay, look, you played your best game of the season against Kansas. You couldn't miss a shot. You made 10 three-pointers in the first half. Kansas just lost to Utah. They're down. They're clearly not the same. But then you back it up with the win at Arizona. Now BYU is not fraudulent. They absolutely are worth the price of admission, and they are backing up that they are an NCAA tournament team. This locked BYU into the bracket. It took them completely off the bubble. Everyone's bubble. That's another element we didn't talk about in terms of what this Arizona win does and why it's more important than Kansas is. It elevated BYU from clearly off the bubble to just firmly in. They're a lock right now if the tournament selection committee was bracketing today.
See, I actually want to go back to something the reason that you used against the Kansas game in terms of the fact that they had lost to Utah before took some of the shine in terms of this argument. I actually think the opposite.
Oh, you think because they were a wounded animal?
Because they were embarrassed losing to Utah. I think we all thought, oh, wow, I really wish they hadn't lost to Utah, because now what are the chances they're going to come in here and not play one of their best games of the year trying to make up for what happened in Salt Lake City?
And then for
BYU then to beat them worse.
Yes.
I actually think that adds a little something
Interesting.
To it.
Interesting. Okay, let's keep this rolling.
Okay.
Which is the bigger deal, facing Arizona State without their leading scorer, maybe their top rebounder as well, or facing Utah in the regular season finale without their head coach, Craig Smith, Utah letting him go yesterday? Which is the bigger deal?
I still think it's Arizona State without their leading scorer and possibly their leading rebounder as well. Talking about Quaintance, he had a knee injury in their last game, left the game, still up in the air on what his status is going to be, probably won't know until game time.
Okay.
But to me, that's it, especially right now because it's the next game. And like you said, you know, can you extend this streak to five games? And you're facing a team for the second time.
Yes.
A team you've already beaten. Now, granted, ASU is struggling. There's no question about it. But we know they still have talent.
Yes.
And it's a game BYU needs to go into Tempe and win. So for me, that's the bigger deal. I don't honestly believe that the coaching change and now the interim person coming in, I don't think that has any effect on the outcome of the game in Provo.
Josh Eilert is the interim head coach of Utah. You know what? That's a familiar name.
Because he did the same thing with West Virginia.
Indeed, he did. Last season, BYU played a game in Morgantown against a Josh Eilert interim-based coached Mountaineers.
Yeah, see, that situation to me, I think, has much less to do with the outcome than what we're seeing at Arizona State.
I agree with you. I'm going to add to the Arizona State conversation the fact that it's a quad one road game.
Right.
And they're without B.J. Freeman, their leading scorer. I mean, he's a guy that's shooting 36% from the three-point line, Jason. He's averaging 14 points a game. And then you throw in Jaden Quaintance, the top rebounder. If both of those guys cannot go, I don't care how galvanizing that Kansas State road win was for the Sun Devils. What are they going to do against a BYU team that is playing with the utmost confidence, the most confidence they've had all season long, rightfully so, coming off four straight wins, including Kansas and Arizona? So that is the bigger deal. And again, I'll take every break that BYU can get for their resume. It's another quad one opportunity. As down as Arizona State is, this still counts as a quad one game if BYU wins it. Then they have three quad one road wins, West Virginia, Arizona, and potentially Arizona
and
State.
And you know as well as I do, that place is going to be filled with royal blue.
Should be an easy ticket, seriously.
It was. I mean, when the women's team played down there, there were so many BYU fans in attendance down there to watch BYU beat Arizona State in Tempe. That's gonna feel. I'm not saying it's gonna feel like a home game, but they're going to be well represented in Tempe.
Neither situation is great for Arizona State and Utah. The timing of the Utah situation is a conversation in and of itself, but they opted to do what they do. I just think there are so many things that Arizona State has to overcome if you're missing two of your most prominent players, and the game is on Wednesday. Utah's gonna have some time to build and kind of get used to things over the next couple of weeks.
All right, here is our last one. biggest deal.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three options here. We're going to open this up a little bit.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bracketology right now. Rocco Miller right now predicting an 8 seed for BYU.
What did I tell you? 8-9 line.
There you go. Playing 9 seed New Mexico.
Okay.
So, playing New Mexico or Lenardi's 8 seed BYU playing 9 seed Utah State or The Athletics 8 seed UConn playing 9 seed BYU. So your choices, New Mexico, Utah State, or UConn. Which would be the bigger deal for BYU to face as an opponent?
The biggest deal. Well, come on, in terms of national splash and what's going to resonate with the country, an 8-9 matchup between the two-time defending national champion UConn Huskies and BYU would be the clear headliner for everybody else in the basketball community. Now, for you and me, it's probably Utah State and BYU on the same seed line.
Right.
That would be an incredibly entertaining, juicy matchup. And it would give Utah State maybe what they want, a shot at BYU, because they're not on the Cougars' schedule anymore, at least not for the foreseeable future. This would be the true test of, okay, who's better in basketball? Neutral site,
yep,
in the NCAA tournament. So, again, within this Beehive State and rivalry conversation, to me, the biggest deal is Utah State, BYU. Outside of the Utah bubble, though,
yeah,
Jason, it clearly has to be BYU and UConn.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going. The biggest deal that you're going to get more bang for your buck, especially if you get a win, is facing UConn.
Face another Hurley brother?
That's what I'm saying. So to me, that's the easy answer. But I understand exactly what you're talking about. If we're sort of scaling this thing down and focusing on this state and this region, there's no question,
yeah,
that it's Utah State. But I think if BYU were to win any of those games, they're going to get the most juice out of beating the Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what type of basketball program Utah State is. Very good basketball program. But it's not going to grab people's attention. Oh, did you see BYU beat Utah State? You're not going to get that reaction. You're not going to get that reaction did you see BYU just beat New Mexico? You're going to get that reaction if BYU were to knock off UConn.
I kind of hate the idea of BYU having to face UConn in the first round in an 8-9 game.
Yeah.
And then in that bracket being rewarded with Duke or Florida. that is brutal. Brutal draw right there. I don't want BYU on the 8-9 line, but in terms of these matchups, how do you argue with BYU-UConn? Although, the rivalry
would be
so juicy.
For the two fan bases, and like you said, for Utah State specifically,
they get what they want.
They get what they want. They get a shot against BYU. So I completely understand that. But if we're really going with the biggest deal, it's getting a shot at UConn.
Frankly, the best matchup out of those three for BYU in terms of opportunity to win the game is against New Mexico.
Right.
I think New Mexico has some athletic guards. They're big and physical. But what does BYU face every game in the Big 12?
Right.
Athletic guards, big and physical. Okay. The shooters of Utah State are the one that could equalize this thing and make it weird. Oh, fun conversation.
Yeah, love it.
Fun conversation. Jason, bringing it with that one. Our question of the day. We're going to ask you the same thing we just discussed. Which potential first-round game in the NCAA tournament is the most enticing for all of you? 8-seed BYU against 9-seed New Mexico? 8-seed BYU against 9-seed Utah State? Or 8-seed UConn versus the number 9 BYU? Right now, 47.6% of everybody answering on X say BYU-Utah State.
They want the local matchup.
Okay. 31% for UConn in that X poll. On Instagram, it's even more skewed towards Utah State. 57% of the vote on IG says BYU-Utah State would be the most enticing to them. Maybe it's because that probably is the rivalry dynamic, and Utah State's trending down a little bit right now while BYU's trending up. I don't know. There's no wrong answer.
Utah State is a very dangerous team.
They're good.
They're very good. And I understand that, like you said, maybe not trending up right now, but do not sleep on the Utah State Aggies.
Heck no. Are you kidding me? Riker Wright on X answers, UConn is coming up back-to-back natties Taking them out in the first round would be a major step in the right direction for this team and would give a major confidence boost throughout the rest of the tourney. Again, the unfortunate part of an 8-9 game is you draw a number one seed in the next round. Listen, a 16 seed's not going to beat Duke this year or Florida. It's not happening. I'm sorry. It's not happening this year. So that is the tough part. Yeah, you take some confidence in beating UConn, but oh, congratulations. You got to the round of 32. You get Duke. That's brutal, right?
Here's your prize.
Kurt Benson on X says, Utah State, it's a chance to prove who the best team in Utah is, as well as to extend BYU's huge win streak. BYU has beaten Utah State consistently. What is it? Is it 9 or 10 straight? I can't remember the specific number. It's been a minute since I actually looked at that stat, but it's up there. I mean, BYU has a lengthy win streak against Utah State. So hanging on to that maybe is worth something too, Jason.
Well, and then you add the fact that it's in the NCAA tournament. It's not this game that they play at the Delta Center. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
It's not the Beehive Classic.
It's a little bit more dramatic.
The stakes are just a little bit higher.
A little more on the line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weighing on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
All right. It's senior night for women's basketball as the Cougars host the Kansas Jayhawks tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time on both ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
After the break, Richie Saunders does something no other Cougar has ever done before. We teased it earlier. Discuss it some more after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepard. We discussed the hardware earlier. Now we discuss the headlines in the show.
Men's hoops ranked number 25 in the latest AP poll. That's the first time under head coach Kevin Young. BYU currently on a 4-game win streak. They've won 8 out of their last 10 games. The Cougars play at Arizona State tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. And the game will now be televised on ESPN2, getting a bit of an upgrade. Mm. One other BYU hoops note, John Rothstein reported that sources are telling him that there will be no Diamond Head Classic in 2025. BYU was reportedly set to be part of that MTE.
Staying with the basketball beat, Richie Saunders named the Big 12 Player of the Week after leading the Cougars to their first back-to-back ranked wins in 37 years. You got to go all the way back to that great 1988 team with Mike Smith and Jeff Chapman and others. Saunders averaged 22.5 points, shot 74% from the field. What? 58% from the three-point line in those two wins over number 23 Kansas and at number 19 Arizona. By the way, it's history for Richie in terms of Big 12 Player of the Week honors. First ever Big 12 Player of the Week award for this Cougar men's basketball program.
Last night in Big 12 men's basketball, number 4 Houston picked up a road win in Lubbock at number 10 Texas Tech, 69-61. Also, Kansas. I watched the end of this game. This one was probably closer than most people would have expected. Kansas wins at Colorado 71-64 behind 32-13 from Hunter Dickinson.
It's difficult to win on the road. Kansas found a way to get out the schneid a little bit. By the way, Texas Tech 5 conference losses. If BYU beats Arizona State tomorrow, the Cougars will be 1 game back of Iowa State and Texas Tech in those Big 12 standings.
Let's go.
Delaney Gibb named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week for the 9th time.
Just give her the yearly award.
Again, naming her Player of the Year, all but a formality. She was awesome against Arizona State. First career double-double, 25 points, 11 rebounds. Also had 16 points against Arizona earlier in the week and led all league freshmen in scoring again. She and the rest of the Cougars host Kansas tonight in the Marriott Center. You can tune in 9 Eastern. Jason on the call on BYU Radio. I'll have it for you on ESPN Plus. And by the way, the 9 times thing, someone sent a fantastic gift from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
9 times, yeah.
When the principal is saying that Ferris has been absent 9 times. 9 times.
9 times, Mrs. Bueller. By the way, speaking of the 9, second most in Big 12 history.
Incredible, in a season.
It trails only Ayoka Lee from Kansas State, who has earned 12.
Let's go, Delaney.
Second most in the conference's history.
The Delaney Gibb Award.
Yes. Moving to baseball, Cooper Vest was named Big 12 Co-Player of the Week after his performance against UCLA and CSUN last week. The senior hit 3 home runs, had three doubles with seven runs scored. Best had a home run in each game of the three-game series at CSUN, leading BYU to their first series win of the new year. Cougars back out on the road this weekend for a matchup against former conference foe Gonzaga in Spokane.
Coop is the next guy for BYU to make a run at the major leagues.
Yep.
He is just such a ball player. Men's and women's Big 12 Swim and Dive Championships begin today in Federal Way, Washington, going to the nation's capital. The men enter the meet ranked third of 10 Big 12 teams, while the women enter as seventh, according to SwimCloud's Big 12 dual meet rankings. The championships will continue through March 1st. Good luck.
Women's golf looks to improve on their ninth place standing going into the final day of the Causeway Invitational in Sacramento. With play just getting underway, the Cougs are one under today, moving up to a tie for sixth.
After the break, we ask the following question. What can BYU do in their four games left in the regular season to improve their resume for March Madness? Stats guru and analyst Evan Miyakawa breaks down those numbers next. Does he think Richie Saunders is BYU's best player? What do the numbers say? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Good luck to everybody else.
At the end of the day, I think they're just two really competitive groups.
That's one of the best blocks I've ever seen here.
You also get guys like a Richie Saunders.
Dallin Hall, three-pointer.
Is it just me, or does that sound, this music, does it sound like maybe like a Mario game when you get like the fire power and like everything speeds up?
Or the star?
Yeah, exactly. Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, just like this, talking about video games on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Ferris Bueller and the original Mario Brothers. Welcome back to the show. He is Jason Shepherd. He loves the 80s. I am Spencer Linton. I also love the 80s. Greatest decade,
Jason? It is the greatest decade. It is the greatest pop culture decade we have and will ever see.
Do the analytics agree with that assessment?
Look, the analytics do. Okay.
Speaking of analytics, it's time now to welcome in once again to the show college basketball expert by the numbers. He is an analytics guru. He is Evan Miyakawa back on BYU Sports Nation. Evan, how are you this morning?
I'm good. And this is the time of year that I love to be talking college basketball more than anything. We've got less than a month from March. And so it's a great time of year right now.
Let's go. Okay. Speaking of BYU basketball, by the numbers, beating Kansas by 34 and then surviving at Arizona, what kind of jump in your numbers as far as the team metric goes did you see from BYU because of those two wins?
It's not just those two wins. It's really what they've done over the course of this month. I think about a month ago, I was looking at this team. They were kind of right outside the tournament picture. And based on their team performance so far in the year, I wasn't super optimistic that they were going to dramatically change their fortunes. It was kind of a 50-50 coin flip. I had them around 40th in the country about a month ago in terms of predicted team strength. But they are the hottest team in the Big 12 right now. They are more improved than any other team in the conference over the last month. They're up to the 24th best team in the country in terms of not just how good they've been so far this season, but what I'm predicting to them do going forward. Their offense in particular has absolutely come alive. They now have a top 15 offense in the country. They're comfortably in the field in terms of bracketology. And, you know, they've just done a lot of impressive work. That win against Kansas was big. The win on the road against Arizona was worth at least a seed bump, if not two, in terms of where they're going to end up in the tournament picture. So an absolutely massive, massive set of results for the BYU Cougars.
Okay, so we were talking to begin the show, which was the bigger deal? Was it the win where you blow out Kansas at home? Is it going on the road and getting the win over the higher-ranked team, getting the quad one road win? Sounds like the numbers say that maybe that Arizona win is the one that gave BYU the biggest jump then from an analytics standpoint.
In terms of their resume and how they're going to be seeded, the Arizona win matters a lot more because not only is Arizona seen as a stronger team, but this was on the road in a really, really tough environment. And so that's going to be a lot more in terms of their tournament outlook. In terms of how the analytics see them from a predictive sense, it's probably pretty similar. This Kansas team has been pretty lackluster recently. And yeah, BYU was not expected to beat the crap out of them. They were favored by a couple points in that game. So it was certainly a really big sign that they were able to do that. But also, this Kansas team has been a little iffy recently. So in that sense, I think both wins are equally important based on just what we think about this team going forward. But from a resume perspective and how it's going to impact their seeding in the tournament, that win at Arizona really is the big one.
Evan Miyakawa. Check out evanmia.com for all of this numeric awesomeness is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's look at the Cougars a little more in depth by the numbers in terms of what BYU does best. And then on the other side, where do you feel like they may need to shore up some things so that they can play better by the time they get to March?
Well, I think the thing that I have always loved about the squad from the preseason is there was a lot of talk about Yegor Demon coming in and being this big time player. But when you looked at this roster from top to bottom, this team has more depth than any other team, arguably in the nation. When you look at my player ratings on my website right now at evanmia.com, where it ranks the value of every single player that they bring to their team, there is only one other team in the country that goes deeper in terms of their nine-man rotation than BYU based on value. It's only Gonzaga. So wow. Basically, BYU has the best or a top two nine-man deep rotation. And that is a huge thing for them because they do not overly rely on one guy. And whether you're talking about your best player or your worst player, there's really not that big of a difference. And so they can really outlast teams because they just have a lot of different weapons that are really reliable. So when I look at this team's strength, their depth is that strength because it's one of the best, deepest units in the country. And you could honestly have a lot of argument about who their best player has been. Richie Saunders arguably has been that guy for them. You know, he's been really, really awesome. But you don't need him to have a great game in order to win. You don't need Yegor Demon to have a great game in order to win. There's a lot of different pieces. There's a lot of options and ways that you can dismantle an opponent. And so to me, that is the biggest strength. You could also twist that a little bit and say, what is their weakness? Well, they don't really have a star go-to player that maybe against a top 15, top 10 team in the country, you're going to be reliably able to put the ball in their hands and have them win the game for you every single night. You know, that player was supposed to be Demon. He's been as advertised as a playmaker, but his scoring has been a little bit underwhelming this season. And so that could be their weakness. But I see the depth more as a strength than a hindrance for this team.
Obviously, everybody's going to follow their individual team. But when you're in a conference, specifically one as great as a college basketball conference as the Big 12, you know, you want the conference to do well. How is the Big 12 comparing to the other leagues?
The Big 12 this year has definitely taken a step back, especially when you compare it to the SEC, who has been unbelievable this year. Not only the best conference in the country, but arguably the best in the entire sport that we've seen in several years. And so for me, the thing is that the elite top end to this conference is still there. Houston is second in the country in terms of team rating right now at my website. They are one of the most likely teams to win a national title. Iowa State has been great. Texas Tech has come on late. And then you've got another crop of teams in like Arizona and BYU, and you can throw Kansas in there, who have legitimate Final Four hopes. But the bottom of the conference in the past used to be much better, where most of the teams here were looking at having tournament chances. And the reality is Oklahoma State, Colorado, UCF, TCU, you can throw Utah in there. They're just not quite in the same conversation. And so the bottom end has dropped off a little bit for this conference.
Is that, obviously there's going to be a lot of factors that go into that, but is that just sort of what happens sometimes when you expand by as many teams as the conference has?
Yeah, and the problem is that the teams that the Big 12 has added in previous years, you look at Houston, you look at BYU, even Arizona this year, these are teams that came into the conference already with a really high pedigree, tournament success, and have been major factors in their conferences. But then you add teams this year like, you know, Arizona State and Utah, who were just not quite at the same caliber. And so they're just not going to really add that much, especially in a year like this when it's their first year in the conference and they're having a harder time adjusting than BYU has, for example. It's just a little bit harder, you know, to kind of have those conferences or those new teams add something to the conference. You've seen this certainly as an issue with the ACC. All of the teams that the ACC has added this year, for the most part, have been huge bummers, and that's not helped their tournament cases hardly at all.
Evan Miyakawa, college basketball analytics expert, is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's follow up that question with straight up, is the Big 12 the second toughest conference in America still, even though this has been a little bit of a downer, or are you giving that to the Big 10?
Right now on conference strength rankings on my website, the Big 12 has it over the Big 10 for the second best conference by just a hair. And I do think that largely is true. I think the Big Ten, the thing that they have better than the Big 12 is more depth. They're going to probably have more teams in the tournament than the Big 12. But the problem is that the Big Ten does not have any really elite teams this year. We kind of knew that coming into this year, and there's not been a single team that has really risen above all of the rest to be firmly like in the top five conversation and nationally. Wisconsin has had moments, Purdue has had moments, Michigan State, Michigan, but they're all kind of, you know, all very similar at the top there. And so I think that's what the Big 12 has over the Big 10 this year. And that's why I would also give the Big 12 more of an edge to get more teams to the Final Four and have a better chance of winning the national title.
Heading into this game Wednesday night at Arizona State, BYU comes in with an overall record of 19-8. They're 9-5 in the Big 12. What's your projected record for BYU by the end of the regular season?
Yeah, looking at their, you know, the last several games in conference play, really the only one that's going to be a major hangup is that game at Iowa State, which will be tough. But for all of those other games, the Arizona State game, I give BYU a 68% chance of winning that game. And then they have a game versus West Virginia and Utah at home, which they should handle if they're doing things well. So for this team, I think 3-1 in that stretch is very reasonable because they're going to be favorites in three of those games. But honestly, I think even if BYU goes 2-2 in that stretch, loses at Iowa State, maybe loses one other game, I still think they're going to be okay heading into the Big 12 tournament in terms of their tournament outlook. I think if they go 3-1, I don't know this for sure, but if they go 3-1, I would say at that point they're for sure a tournament lock, just because even if they lose their first game of the Big 12 tournament, I still think that this team is going to be comfortably in.
All right, Evan, I know the answer to this question because I'm looking at your website right now and I know the numbers, but I want you to reveal to the people here the answer to this question, and that is, who is BYU's best player right now?
BYU's best player on a per-possession basis based on the value they bring on the court. And I've mentioned this before. There's a lot of different players that can be in this conversation, but it is Fus Traore.
Let's go!
And Fus Traore, yeah, yeah. And he, you know, he's been in this team for multiple years, and people have been kind of waiting for him to have this big season. I don't think this season has been about him more than it's just been about the collection of players that this team has. The best offensive player on this team in terms of the metrics is Richie Saunders, and it's just by a hair. But when you're looking at the full body of work, both offensively and defensively, Traore is number one. But there's honestly a lot of players really close. Kaba Keita has graded out as the team's best defender. He comes in at number two. And then you've got Saunders, Dallin Hall, and Yegor Demon kind of all right there. So the gap is really small. And honestly, if you look at this even in several days, that order could change.
Whether it's, and you can take your pick here, whether it's maybe a sleeper in the Big 12 itself or maybe just sort of a sleeper in college basketball, is there a team that maybe people don't necessarily think too highly of, but the numbers are saying this team's pretty good and you better watch out for them?
Well, listen, I've got a team in the Big 12, and this has been something I've been kind of tracking for a while, and people do not like it, but I am still high on the Kansas Jayhawks. The thing with this team is that they came in, obviously, preseason number one in the AP poll. They've obviously been massively disappointing, and they're not really in the running for a title like people thought. This team has been especially disappointing in the last month or so. They've really just kind of let themselves go. They've had a bad stretch of games here. Obviously, that humbling defeat at BYU is an example of that. But when you just kind of look on the merit of not just what they've done on the totality of their season, but also the roster talent that they have and the coach that they have in Bill Self, and their tournament track record, all the signs still point that they are going to outperform what they've done so far down the stretch. And so I predict that this Kansas team will rebound, will be in much better shape for the tournament, and still has a chance of going to a Sweet 16 potentially. Obviously, there are some things for this team to get to work on, but despite the fact that they have been pretty bad recently, I still have them in terms of predicted team strength going forward as a top 20 team in the country. So I do think they're going to be better than they've been recently, and I think they're a good buy-low candidate right now.
Evan, we'll finish with this. What can BYU do in their final four regular season games and the Big 12 tournament to jump up another seed line or two, to get on that 6-7 line and avoid the 8-9 matchup?
I think if you go 3-1 down the stretch in the regular season and you pick up at least one game in the Big 12, I do think that will probably move them up a little bit because other teams around them will likely lose more games or lose in the first round of their conference tournaments. Honestly, a big separator that you often see for teams kind of in this, like, on the right side of the bubble, but kind of in that, like, 8-11 range is that a lot of them kind of go into their conference tournaments and then, you know, 50-50 chance they just lose their first game and they can't really do much. So just getting at least one win in your conference tournament really can do a lot. And sometimes that can be kind of spur you on to win another game or two and get to your semifinals or finals. So for this team, I think if they can get four more wins this season, including the regular season and the tournament, I think they'll probably move them even more in the right direction come when the bracket comes out on Selection Sunday.
BYU basketball by the numbers with the fabulous Evan Miyakawa. EvanMia.com if you want more of that goodness. We appreciate the time as always, my friend. Good luck to you, and we hope you get some rest at some point over the next month.
The rest isn't coming for a while, and I love it that way.
Thanks, Evan. Great stuff.
Oh, man, that dude is in the numbers. And what I like about him is he brings opinions with those numbers as well. So it's not just straight stats, straight analytics. Like, I like that he brings strong opinions, obviously based on the research and the incredible amount of research that he has done.
Excellent. All right, men's basketball plays Arizona State tomorrow night. Pre-game coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time with yours truly on BYU Radio.
Forgive me for what I'm about to do. It's the Coug Cruise, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. Jason's ready to leave. Oh, Jason's out.
Thank you so much for having him sing that.
Listen, when you challenge me, I'll do it, as dumb as it makes me sound. We're discussing it with Troy Dunn next. He's going to rate my singing capability or inability after this on BYSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. I'd like to offer a formal apology for what I sang before we went to break in terms of the Coug Cruise.
You know that's going to end up on, you know, like one of the year-end bloopers.
Listen, I'm the black sheep of my family. I have shamed the Linton name when it comes to singing capability, and that was proof of that on the show, okay?
He actually was very nice.
I appreciate you, Shep. A man who is not the black sheep of his family, very much the opposite. He is leading the way. He's the CEO and founder of Charter King, is Troy Dunn. He's back on BYU Sports Nation. Troy, welcome back to the show.
You know, for the 3,000 guests who are booked on this BYU cruise, when they call in for reservations, we have to put them on hold. They listen to the Love Boat song. We are, as I'm sitting here, they are replacing that with a loop of you doing it. That is so fantastic.
I was just a little off pitch. I was singing flat, Troy.
No, on board we will refer to you as Captain Stubing.
Nice.
For sure.
But at some point during one of the shows on the ship, you do need to. You need to go Isaac.
Isaac.
Yeah, you need to go Isaac.
Great show. What a great show. Local news and then the Love Boat when I was growing up. That was the jam. You know, when kids could stay up past 10:30.
Absolutely.
We don't allow that anymore.
No.
All right. That aside, Troy.
Yeah.
How close are we to a full boat on the Coug Cruise?
You know, if we hadn't announced it for an April date, it would have been sold out 9 months ago. There's so many scheduling conflicts for people, but we're at 95%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's almost full. There's a handful of cabins left for those who are like, I've been thinking about it. So they can still grab something, but you'd have to do it like immediately.
What's some of the latest news on some of the Coug greats that will be joining everybody on the cruise?
Oh, gosh. You know, I just texted my staff and I said, who else is, because they tell me a new text every day. But as far as I know, so legendary basketball coach Dave Rose.
Let's go.
Excellent.
Coach Rose.
Him and his wife.
Excellent.
You know, Jake is coming.
Gonna Jake Toulson?
Cool, yeah.
Okay. No,
who else do we have? We have
a couple of basketballers, the head coach. I know the list is long.
Well, they keep piling on. We've got Todd Shell.
One of the most underrated superstars in BYU football history, Todd Shell.
Sila, our quarterback, our linebacker. Am I saying his name right?
Sarah. Pete. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Sila and Sarah.
Yeah. So he's coming.
And his dad, Peter, probably.
I'm only got permission to say certain things. There's two other really big legendary names that I was begging them to let me say today, but. I don't know why we're not.
Two others. So they're confirmed. You just can't announce
coming,
it.
I can't tell you. This is, without a doubt, the who's who. If there's a Hall of Fame at sea for BYU, this is it.
Okay, so I've got to tell you this story really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm in Morgantown, West Virginia, getting ready. Well, I'm in the middle of calling the women's basketball game against the Mountaineers.
Yeah.
And one of my reads during the broadcast is to promote this cruise.
Sure.
And so I go through the read as I have for every game, and there is a West Virginia person sitting next to me, and she all of a sudden I hear she perks up, and she hears, and she's like, "Are you hearing this? Are you hearing what BYU's doing?" They could not believe that BYU has been able to get all these people to come on and that they're filling an entire ship full of BYU fans and BYU greats.
Yeah. No, it is historical. I mean, I know it sounds, I don't want to be like a guy that hypes everything, so I want to be really straight up. This is hands down the greatest, biggest celebration of BYU athletics in the history of BYU. This is the biggest tailgate that's never happened. Oh. It may never happen again. We'll never get all these people together again. I mean, everybody from Kalani to current players to NFL stars to legends, all the entertainers have been replaced with BYU legendary celebrities. I mean, it is over the top. And people who are fans of BYU athletics already are aware of this because you guys have talked about it so much. Every day we hear from new alumni who just heard about it for the first time. So I don't think I've gotten that word out very well. But if you know a BYU alumni, let them know because they'll be shocked to fill it out. We have, you know, who would have guessed when we started talking about this a year ago that this would be our farewell to Tom Holmoe?
Wow. Right. I mean, right? That alone, right?
I mean, and there's going to be some big, I don't want to give away surprises. There's going to be some celebrating Tom Holmoe.
No question.
I mean, as he well deserves, as our great patriarch of the athletic program. So that's going to be happening. We have so many families who have said, "I wish I could go." We just can't swing it.
Sure.
Financially.
Sure.
And so it took a lot of work, but we found a company who would allow us to let people cruise now and just make payments later.
Really?
Oh, that's great.
So now when you go on and book, you can get on right now, get a cabin. I think it's $200 down. And then you can worry about payments down the road and cruise right now.
That's
fantastic. So you don't have to miss it.
So participate in such an obviously unique celebration and event.
Oh my gosh, it is BYU legendary history. And the social media fallout from this afterwards will be unbelievable. If you miss it, you're gonna hurt.
Troy Dunn, CEO and founder of Charter King, is overseeing a massive effort for Cruising with the Cougs.
And you'll be there broadcasting live.
We'll be doing a bunch of shows. I'll be emceeing a bunch of different events and
yes.
things on the boat.
Awesome,
yes.
awesome.
I'll be busy, but I'll be yeah. enjoying every moment
well,
of
we
it.
We know now you're going to be singing as well.
Yes. Oh, no. You'll be
please,
singing.
Please don't make me sing.
Hosting a show, a little shuffleboard. All on the Lido deck.
Maybe karaoke. Okay?
Spencer Stubbe.
I might do karaoke. We want people to go on the trip, Jason, not
True.
Push them away.
Sure, I apologize.
Troy, great to have you.
Thanks
on the show.
Yeah,
thanks
yeah.
for the time, man.
All right, BYU basketball with Kevin Young back Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern time. You can check it out on the BYU TV app.
After the break, what's the potential first-round matchup for BYU men's basketball that has your attention the most? Stick around. We're expecting you. We're back on BYUSN.
Oh, boy.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Well, if you missed Spencer singing or some other people told you probably want to miss it, you can check it out on demand.
Congratulations.
Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review while you're there.
We just came to a consensus during the break that how I sang that Love Boat song, the Coug Cruise song, is me channeling Will Ferrell as Robert Goulet and then singing it.
If you have not seen Will Ferrell as Robert Goulet, please spend some time on YouTube and find it.
It's so true. Our question of the day. Which potential first-round game, based on the latest projections, is most enticing to you? Three matchups. BYU is an 8 seed against number 9 New Mexico, 8 seed BYU against number 9 Utah State, or number 8 UConn versus number 9 BYU, still winning the vote. BYU-Utah State, 47.3% of that vote on X.
That surprises me a little bit. I would think people would want the UConn, but I certainly can understand the appeal of the in-state game against
no
Utah
question.
State. I get it.
All right, Alex Beach on X answers, a first-round tournament matchup to prove who the best team in the state is? Sign me up. Yes, the buildup would be incredible. Just don't make it the 10:30 game on the first day of the tournament, please, so that we can do this show without having to worry about the game. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from at Mex Custer, also on X, who says, Utah State. Sooner those guys get bumped out of the tournament, the sooner they can get back to working on lowering egg prices. Gosh. Couldn't think of a better way to help the nation to send them on a direct flight back to Ogden. Oh!
Oh, wow.
How did that get through the gully?
All right, today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
This one goes to our good friend, Doug Pusey. We love you, Doug. He is starting chemotherapy to battle stage 4 cancer. Doug, you are the man. We appreciate how you represent BYU. For Jason Shepherd, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to all of you. We'll talk to you tonight for women's basketball.